Good morning. Welcome to our Savior Lutheran Church on this March 12th, 2023, the third Sunday in Lent. Our Sunday morning in-person service is here at 6th and Wall at 10 a.m., and then our radio broadcasts our service at 11 on WPHM 1380 a.m. Also available at on a podcast at your convenience, wphm.net/podcast Our Savior. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Ann McRae. Today we have Layla Minister Scott Pike filling in for Pastor Charlie, who is out ill. I will be assisting. I am Judy Quater. Our accompanist today is Carol Cataldo, and on soundboard is Hope Dorsbacher. In today's gospel, the Samaritan woman asked Jesus for water, an image of our thirst for God. Jesus offers living water, a sign of God's grace flowing from the waters of baptism. The early church used this gospel and those of the next two Sundays to deepen baptismal reflection during the final days of preparation before baptism at Easter. As we journey to the resurrection feast, Christ comes among us in word, bath, and meal, offering us the life-giving water of God's mercy and forgiveness. Today, our gathering hymn is Glories of Your Name Are Spoken.
Rise in body or spirit for this morning's confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who journeys with us these 40 days and sustains us with the gift of grace.
Amen.
Let us acknowledge before God and one another our need for repentance and God's mercy. Holy God, we confess to you our faults and failings. Too often we neglect and do not trust your holy word. We take for ourselves instead of giving to others. We spoil rather than steward your creation. We cause hurt through you call us to heal. We choose fear over compassion. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us as we seek to follow in your way of life. Amen. Hear the good news. God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, so that all may receive life. This promise is for you. God embraces you with a divine mercy, forgives you in Christ's name, and revives you in the Spirit's power. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Merciful God, the fountain of living water, you quench our thirst and wash away our sin. Give us this water always, and bring us to drink from the well that flows with the beauty of your truth through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And we'll get our readings from Judy this morning.
Today's first reading comes from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Because the thirsty Israelites quarreled with Moses and put God to the test, Moses cried out in desperation to God. God commanded Moses to strike the rock to provide water for the people. The doubt-filled question, "Is the Lord among us or not?" received a very positive answer. Here begins the reading. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah in Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And this is the word of the Lord. Today's psalm is Psalm 95. And the antiphon is, "Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation." Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God.
Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. On that today, you would hear God's voice. There your ancestors tested me. They put me to the test, though they had seen my works.
40 years I hold that generation, saying, the hearts of this people go astray. They do not know my ways.
Indeed, I swore in my anger, they shall never come to my rest. Let us shout for joy, the rock of our salvation. Our hymn of praise. Praise and thanks and adoration. Second reading today comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Though we often hear that God helps those who help themselves, here Peter tells us through Jesus' death, God helps utterly helpless sinners, since we who had been enemies are reconciled to God in the cross, we now live in hope for our final salvation. Since we were justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely have been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Word of God, word of life.
Through the length of this morning's gospel, we'll remain seated. Return to the Lord our God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This morning's gospel comes from the book of John, starting with the 4th chapter and the 5th verse. Now Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given it to his son, Joseph's well. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired by his journey, was sitting by the well, and it was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone out to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share such things in common with Samaritans." Now Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than the ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and his flocks that drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will be in them a spring of water gushing up with eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying that I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither from this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in the spirit and the truth." Now the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you now." Just then his disciples came, and they were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want? Or why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. And she said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything that I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." And Jesus said to him, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do not say 4 months from more than comes to the harvest. But I tell you, look around and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him and they asked him to stay with him, he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word, and they said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this truly is the Savior of the world. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to this third Sunday in Lent. Pastor Charlie and his family went on vacation this last week and they went to the Magic Kingdom. Unfortunately, Pastor Charlie brought some of the magic back with him and he is feeling under the weather. So we pray for his speedy healing and return to the pulpit. So I'll be stepping in for him this morning. The most magical place on earth is the tagline for Walt Disney World. With the featured attractions, the Magic Kingdom is really pushed right now with the 50th anniversary celebration. A lot of how the magic works has to do with you putting away your grown-up logic and nature and taking on being a kid again. You sort of need to place a lot of faith in what they're having you experience. That is, if you want to buy into the full story of the place and get the most out of your experience. It's not that there are not some adult experiences, especially the animal exhibits, but most of them retain the identity of what Walt wanted. He wanted a place to be family-oriented, a fun place to go and enjoy. It's a good opportunity to leave the world and all its problems aside for a while and just let go of that. They really hope you have faith in the magic of all that they are, all that they're able to create, which is a great deal. The magic is based on skills that God gave those creating it. And our passage today is quite a lot about faith in Jesus, our trust in him, and that he really is the Messiah who came to save us all. It stands in opposition to the passage that we heard last week. Last week, Jesus was still in Jerusalem, trying to get Nicodemus to open up his mind to what Jesus was bringing to us, and to be reborn into the faith in Jesus who offered him living water. Now, Nicodemus wandered off at the end of the passage, still unsure that he could accept faith in Jesus as the Messiah within his Jewish precepts. What we heard today is the opposite of that. With this woman from Samaria, who seemed almost more than ready to make the leap, to fully accept Jesus and the faith in him and in her life. Even she was trying to fully grasp that this man who talked to her really was the Messiah. Now, perhaps we need a little background to help us understand this. Samaritans are ethnically related to the Jewish people. Many were left behind from the exiles that occurred, and some were resettled in Israel after the defeat of the Assyrians. They are a pretty mixed lot with their Jewish heritage. They obey the Torah and they read the same scriptures. But in the past, they had also worshiped pagan gods of those who had overtaken them. From the breakaway of the northern kingdom, they worshiped on Mount Gerizim rather than Jerusalem. There's a whole lot more details for anyone who delves into trying to fully understand this separate but distinctly different people. To say the least, the Jews and the Samaritans were not cordial with one another. Their land indeed does lay between Judea and Galilee. There are a lot of boundaries that are being crossed in this particular passage. Jesus speaking to the woman is a big one. That was just not done in those days. The group that John would have been speaking to, however, would not have found this strange as we do now. His sect did allow women a lot of responsibilities, including being worship leaders. Very forward thinking for that time period. Then the fact that they were nationally different, but not racially. As we might expect, they had the same racial makeup. Some of the factors of this story are Jewish-oriented, and however, in order that the Jewish people led by John would accept the message that it provides, that Jesus would have shared a drinking vessel with her would have been a big violation of Jewish law. This woman is seen to have had distinctly bad luck in her life, in her multiple marriages. Now, this is not due to her own sinfulness or any promiscuity, but due to how she was being judged. She's getting water at midday, not early in the morning like the other woman of the village would have. She is despised for her multiple marriages, even though in those days she would have had very little say in that. Jesus often finds the poor or the wretched to speak to and provides words of hope to those, to us through them. Jesus does know her history without any conversation with her, and for this she considers him to be a prophet. Her reputation does not put Jesus off from having this conversation. In fact, he accepts her as she is, which helps her to be open to what he has to tell her. We might hear in this also a great relationship to our own time, when so many will take any aspect of a person and use this to cast them off as worthless. We also have a big problem these days just listening to each other. Just because of political views and refusal to hear what others have to say. This is often even greater when someone is from another region or country, that we are not anywhere as accepting as Jesus was of another person from somewhere different than us. Even when we hear a different accent, we immediately make a judgment of the person, often negatively. Now, Jesus in this passage encourages us to be accepting of others, whether they are different from us racially or just by the area we perceive they are from. Fortunately, this does not apply in Disney World. One can hear a lot of accents, foreign languages, and all are equally taken care of. All Jesus offers to this woman is what is offered to all of us. That Jesus doesn't judge us, even though he knows all about us and our lives. How do we feel about Jesus knowing us that well? All the good and the bad parts of us, even the ones that we would want to throw away. We are thankful that even though Jesus knows us this well, God does not remember our sins. Once we have asked for that forgiveness, it has been given to us. Now, just like the woman, Jesus offers us a new way of life, a new way to worship. The woman is a great example for us of witnessing Jesus for others to come to him. She is elated when Jesus reveals that he is the one, the Messiah who has to come. The Samaritans also shared the concept of the Messiah coming to this world to change it from the power of evil that we all know that we have to deal with. Jesus is not just a man who is called the Messiah as the prophets see him. Jesus responds with, "I am that God gave to Moses as his name." After which she runs to her town, leaving behind her valuable water jug that her household needs for daily living, like the disciples who dropped everything to follow Jesus. We can note that the people of the village were so inspired by her words that they went to see Jesus and to hear for themselves his words in order to know that he truly is the Messiah. They are convinced that he is the real deal. He is the one we're waiting to come. How are we doing at hearing Jesus' words and knowing that he is the one to bring salvation to all of us? Who have we brought that message to? Are they rushing to hear the words of Jesus? We can trust in the Spirit to open them up, to listen to the words and decide what Jesus is for real. That he offers eternal life, the stuff of living water. In case we are looking around to find drink, the living waters that Jesus brings to us, we have poured over our heads long ago, and we are invited into his life for all eternity. Now, eternal life is not just for our future, but something we live in now, giving us hope in our daily lives, being much better than we know before we accept Jesus. We pray for those like Nicodemus who cannot come into acceptance of Jesus in their lives. It cannot come through him to know God. We see Jesus' face in the face of all others of this world that we come into contact with or even just pass in a supermarket aisle. Then we can see our face. They can see our face, the love of Jesus, which the Spirit brings them to see. Perhaps one day they will see this in us and ask us about that love that is pouring out from us. And we can use the words of this woman to come and see. We don't have to add her words that betray her still, trying to believe that he cannot be the Messiah, can he? We know from what he has done in our lives that he truly is the Messiah who has blessed us. Jesus also told her that worship of God would no longer be restrained to the temple in Jerusalem or the place of worship on Mount Gerizim, but will be wherever people gather to worship God, just as we are now. This opens a whole new way for people to relate to their Creator, that God is open to our speaking with God in any way we need to, about anything, anytime we need to. This does not make God any less awesome, but a loving, awesome God. For this is our God who will listen to us and give us words that God sends to us in love and to lift us up. And we will remember to tell people to come and see. Amen. The hymn of the day will be, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. Rise in spirit or body for this morning's prayers of intercession. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation.
We pray for your church. Bless partnerships with other Christians and interreligious dialogue. Guide the daily work of denominational and congregational leaders. Strengthen our combined witness for the sake of the gospel, that all experience your life-giving love. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We pray for the universe. All creation teems with life, from the depths of the earth and seas to the skies above. Fill us with awe and reverence for the diversity and preservation of life. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We pray for the nations of the world. Topple the dividing walls that separate us from our neighbors. Form us into your beloved community, where diversity of gender, race, language, ability, and ethnic origin is celebrated and affirmed. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We pray for those who suffer in mind, body, or spirit. Be present with all who are lonely and give courage to all who are afraid. Comfort those who live with chronic illness or other sicknesses. Today we remember in our prayers Pastor Charlie, Tom Bachman, Donna Barnish, Deb Cook, Pastor Don Dorsbacher, Sarah Mayer Flatt, Kirk Langoff, Sherry Moserak, Beverly and Ed O'Connor, Carl Rich, Douglas Weaver, Pastors Joyce and Ken Stabe and their son Mason. We also pray for the family and friends of David Hooven, Jim Davidson, and Brenda Wickings with their passing. Those serving to protect our nation both at home and overseas, that they may return safely. Give them your living water always. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We pray for this congregation, especially those preparing for baptism. Nurture their faith and pour your love into them, into their hearts. Inspire our community by their testimony to God's grace in their lives. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We give thanks for the lives of all their hope in you sustained lives of faith and service. Encourage us with the hope they shared in you. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We lift
our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Thank you for your continued support to the Christian ministry of our Savior Lutheran Church. I have a few announcements. We do have fellowship hour, coffee hour today with beef stew following the service. And as Mary pointed out, cake and cookies. So all are invited to that. Our council meeting meets Tuesday here at the church at 7 p.m. With Pastor Charlie being out ill today, it is requested that you call the church before coming to Bible study on Wednesday to be sure that he is here and able to do that. Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at St. Paul Lenten service. And then Thursdays, St. John Church has a Lenten service from noon to 1. Combined choir practice at Our Savior Lutheran is today at 1 p.m. All musicians are invited to participate with Pilgrim Lutheran Church for a combined choir to perform for this year's Synod Assembly. God of good gifts, receive these and all our offerings as we present them in faithful service for the sake of your gospel. Prepare our hearts to receive you in this meal as you pour out your very presence through Christ Jesus, the wellspring of eternal life. Amen. In our offering hymn, Just As I Am, Without One Plea.
address something from the announcements. If you've noticed in the announcements in the last few months, a lot of activities involving other areas of other Blue Water churches in the Blue Water area, or Lutheran churches, I'm sorry. Over the past few months, we've been meeting, Pastor Charlie and I, as a group with the other Blue Water churches in the area, and we've been coming up with ways to serve one another because we're finding out that we're all facing the same problems with shrinking congregations, less activity because of those small sizes, and we're finding that we can do more together. So rather than maybe have one Lenten service with five or six people at it, we can have it at one church with much more people and more, you know, better fellowship. Other activities will be coming up, like Vacation Bible School. One of the things that will be coming up very soon is the Synod Conference, which is going to be here in Port Huron. If you're a singer or willing to volunteer and you've never been to the conference, I encourage you to go, and it's an experience that you will enjoy. Your fellowship and the worship there will be beyond expectations, and it'll be a blessing to you. So as you hear these things that are going on in other churches, I encourage you to try to attend as many of those as you can, because we are trying to bring ourselves together as, you know, a combined people of faith. So if you would join me now in joy and praise with the words that Jesus Christ gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may God, the giver of love, Christ, the resurrection and the life, and the Holy Spirit of rebirth, bless you this Lenten journey.
Amen.
Our sending hymn this morning will be Lift High the Cross. You may be seated. Thank you.
serve with love.
Thank you.